Hare Krishna. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Savarandigam Adadanas Trinandantai Vidam Yache Puna Puna Srimarupa Padambujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Jivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha kalpa trubhyascha kripa sindhu evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So today is very special day in many ways. It is a solar celebration, so it's every year practically on the same day, on the 14th of January. The sun enters the sign of Makara, Capricorn. So that is known as Makara Sankranti. And there's a big mela in Gangasagar. It is also the day, Makara Sankranti day was the day that Radharas Bihari Mandir in Juhu was opened. This is the 43rd anniversary of the opening Makara Sankranti Day in 1978. And we know, or we've heard anyway, how Prabhupada fought so much for this temple. So this is a very super special occasion for all of us. In fact, at the end of the whole, almost the end, Prabhupada said, well, it was a good fight. And he finally got the paper signed. It was a good fight. Somebody should write a book. So no better person to write such a book than His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj, the key! Because he was there from the beginning. He dedicated his life to fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's desire to have this temple in Juhu. We know that before Prabhupada went to the West, his best donor was Sumati Mirarji, Sindhya, the Sindhya steamship lines. And near her house in Juhu, he saw this plot of land, and he thought this would be a nice place for a temple. So he made a promise to Krishna that one day I'll build a temple for you here. That's the name of the book, I'll build you a temple. And we'll hear all about the struggles. In fact, all of us, we gave up. None of us could understand why Prabhupada was fighting so much for this piece of land. Now we can understand. If someone has never been to the Jamastami festival in Juhu, 1 year I left Vrindavan just to see for myself. And that year the police announced 800,000, 8 lakhs of people came to see the take darshan all day long. Now it's much more than that, but more than that, I went there. I wanted to see the Jamastami festival in Juhu. It's amazing the arrangements that they make and the amount of people come. There's no temple like that in the world. a million people come for Janmashtami. I also, one of the other Janmashtamis you should see is Bhaktivinoda Manor. I also went there one year for that, and it's such a big celebration. It even made it in CNN, and they were reporting that 60,000 people. But we can't imagine a million people coming for Janmashtami. Now we understand why Prabhupada fought so much for this temple. And I don't think there's any project in the world that Prabhupada fought so much for. He was so, this was such a dear project to him. He knew this was going to be great facility for spreading Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, what is the use of fighting over land? We gave up. The devotees were in charge. Mr. Nair was so tricky, even bribed their own lawyers to give us bad advice. They advised, you best just sign off this property and forget about it. And we signed off the property, and Prabhupada was practically devastated. But Prabhupada was so clever, as soon as he got the land, because this guy had done this many times, he'd taken the land on a small down payment, and there was a balloon payment soon after that, and people were unable to make that balloon payment, and he just kept their down payment money, and many times he had sold the property like this. He thought Prabhupada would be another victim. But he didn't know who he was tangling with. Krishna's dear servant. And so he tried to do the same thing. And there was a huge fight. Even he paid our lawyers to... We gave up. Prabhupada was furious. Prabhupada came there, but Prabhupada was very clever. First thing he did, as soon as he got the land, he built a small temporary temple and installed Radha Ras Bihari. And promised them that I will build a nice temple. We've seen the pictures of the tiny, it was just a tiny little temple with a tin roof. So, because once you put a temple on a piece of property, it's very difficult to. Although Mr. Nair was such a rascal, even he tried to destroy Radha Ras Bihari's temple. So I had we'll hear many devotees who were there, who saw all these things happen. I only had a small part to play, so I'll speak about that. Let other devotees can fill in the details. But just one small detail will say, Prabhupada was in New Zealand, I guess it was. And there was a phone call, and somebody answered the phone, and they came back to Prabhupada and said, that Mr. Nair is dead. And Prabhupada put his hands together and said, oh, thank you, Krishna. And everybody else in the room was surprised. Prabhupada got the news somebody died. Usually you're very sorry. But Prabhupada was jubilant, and he put his hands together as I was praying to Krishna to do something to this demon. I was praying to Krishna. So Prabhupada was the only instance we ever heard of Prabhupada. Somebody died and Prabhupada was very happy. So, anyway, my small part in this whole thing was 1974. It was the first organized, really organized Mayapur Fest. They say 73, but I don't remember so much propaganda that we had to go. But 1974, we sold out practically the whole 747 was reserved by the devotees. There was a few karmis on it, but mostly devotees. And we flew from New York to London, from London to Paris to Rome, Rome to Athens, Athens to Beirut, Beirut to Bombay, and then Bombay to Calcutta. There wasn't this big Delhi, London, or now, of course, we have, you know, New York to Delhi. One flight. It was so. I visited almost all the airports of Didn't visit all those places, but I visited almost all the airports of Europe. And we were having kirtan at 30,000 feet because it was all devotees. So we were dancing up and down the aisles, jumping up and down. The poor pilot, he couldn't figure out. There's, on his weather radio scope, there was no turbulence, but the plane was bouncing. So finally he had to stop us from running up and down the aisles having kirtan. But it was a wonderful flight. All those days everything was arranged. We all, you know, somehow New York arranged, and England, we picked up devotees in England, we picked up devotees in Paris. It was all arranged. We got to the to Calcutta, buses were there ready for us to take us to Mayapur, everything. Now everybody comes on their own, but those days it was all arranged. Anyway, after that festival, because we heard the glories of the 1974 festival in Mayapur, everybody was deathly sick. Somehow, we told the other day how Jamuna and Gurudas, they cooked very nicely for us and took, just like mother and father, took care of us here. But still, my stomach wasn't in the best shape. And we were at the airport, and again, we were going to do that in reverse. From Bombay to Beirut, Beirut to Athens, Athens to Rome, Rome to London, London to New York. It was a long flight. Almost a day. I wasn't looking forward to it all, especially the situation my stomach was in. And just at that time, the commissioner of, I guess you would call the mayor of Bombay, said that our Juhu project, that our kirtan was a public nuisance, and they were refusing to give us permission to build the project. So Prabhupada wanted a Sankirtan protest. He wanted as many devotees as possible who could stay back to come for the Sankirtan protest. So there was standing in line, and none other than His Holiness Vishnu Jan Maharaj was the one who was canvassing for people to skip their flight back to America or Europe or wherever and go to Bombay and join Prabhupada's Sankirtan protest following in the footsteps of Sriman Mahaprabhu. So not looking forward, especially my stomach was so a big mess, not looking forward to this big trip. It was so attractive. Vishnu Jan was there. So, and then Tejas did practically the impossible. We had these 1 month tourist visas, which can't be converted into anything, but Tejas managed to do that. He got us all extensions somehow. It was a type of visa that was, it was actually 28 days and nothing you could do with it. But Tejas had made such good friends in the government that he managed to get us all extended, and then they got us a train to Bombay. A train, 1974, maybe it was just the class we were in, I don't know, but there was no cushions on the seat. We were sitting on the wood. Now even in the lowest class there's cushions, but we were sitting on wood. And I think it was like 30-hour train. They got the cheapest train for us, of course. But we were having kirtan, we were doing artiks and everything in the train. Anyway, we got to Bombay, and every morning we do big kirtan around Juhu property. And for us it was a big shock. We got there, just to let you understand what austerities the devotees went through who worked to fulfill Prabhupada's dream. There was nothing on the property, just there was the tenants were there and that was it. So there was a park, Gandhi Park, and they built this chatai, you know, these straw mat hut, not a hut, but a big hall. And that's where we were supposed to sleep. And in there, there was a little, they made, out of chatai mats, they made a little compartment, and there was a huge, you know, 100-gallon or maybe 50-gallon barrel of water. That's where we took our showers. Now we go to Juhu. They let us stay in a nice, you know, marble guest house and air conditioning and everything. We were staying in this chatai hut with the. If you spent the night there, you could hear the rats running back and forth. You know, in the because it was just straw mats, you know, and you hear the rats running, and every once in a while one would fall because it's nighttime. But there was mosquitoes everywhere. So what we did, we in front of the temple, there was a little tin roof, and there was fans. So we'd all go to the temple room in front of Ras Vihari's little tiny blockhouse temple. And we'd sleep under the fans to be safe from the mosquitoes. The devotees were, you'll hear from others the story of those who stayed there, who sacrificed so much. Prabhupada was eternally grateful to those devotees. We're used to such soft life, living in a chatai hut, being bitten by mosquitoes, getting malaria. It was such incredible austerity. The devotees, of course, our dear god sister Visakha, she thought it was adventure. For everyone else, it was a big austerity. She was sleeping on the roof of those tenant buildings. The ladies they put on the roof. So she just had a little tent, and she's sleeping on the roof, and she taking bath in the corner with a bucket and a mug. She thought it was a big adventure, but for most of us, it was a huge austerity. And devotees, we have to bow down at their lotus feet that they did such incredible austerities for their great love for Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his desire. Finally, Prabhupada came there in 1977. It wasn't finished, but he insisted on staying in his rooms even if it wasn't completely finished. And he was up on the sixth floor. Anyway, it's either sixth or seventh floor, I can't remember, Prabhupada's rooms. And even though it wasn't finished, Prabhupada insisted on staying there. We know 77, Prabhupada was very sick. And we've all heard the glories, and we'll hear about P.L. Sethi and his great contribution to rebuilding the temporary temple when they finally broke it down. And P.L. Sethi was a member of a group called the Radha Madhav Sankirtan Mandal. They're very famous, especially in this UP area. There's many branches all over UP where they all get together once a month and they have 24-hour or 12-hour kirtans like that, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So anyway, because of P.L. Sethi's connection, they decided that one day they would do their 24-hour kirtan in the temporary temple in Juhu. And Prabhupada was staying upstairs in his room. So all these people came, and Prabhupada was a little disappointed because they were fired up. They were going all day long, all day and all night, you know, and our devotees started out for a couple hours and then everyone disappears. And Prabhupada looked down and said, "Where's our men?" But these people were really fired up to do Hare Krishna Kirtan and many other kirtans. So one time, Giriraj Maharaj told how they were all anxious to get darshan of Prabhupada, but it wasn't Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very sick. It was impossible for him to come down. So Prabhupada agreed to come out on the balcony, because all those rooms in the guest house had balconies. So Prabhupada came out on the balcony from downstairs. They also took darshan of Prabhupada. Then Giriraj Maharaj told how Prabhupada came back and he lay down again. And then somebody began chanting, "Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna. Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna. And Giridhar Maharaj said, tears were streaming down Prabhupada's face as they were chanting this beautiful kirtan down below. And Prabhupada, he actually promised them. He told them, you tell them, we'll get their children married, we'll take care of everything. They just, you give them rooms here on the Juhu property somehow, and they stay here and do kirtan 24 hours a day. Prabhupada was ready to give rooms to them, and he said, we'll pay for their daughters and sons' marriage, we'll do everything, just let them stay. He was so pleased by this kirtan. So we couldn't understand why Prabhupada fought so much for this place. But Prabhupada knew that it was going to be such a wonderful facility. Because this is this was Prabhupada's temple. More than any other temple, Juhu is, when I'm in Juhu temple, even more than here in Vrindavan, I feel Prabhupada's presence. Because we couldn't understand. He was talking about a white marble temple. Because those days in the West, we rented a house in the low rent district. We painted it funny colors. We put a sign out front, Radha Krishna Temple, and that was a temple. And Prabhupada's talking about this white marble temple with big marble columns and big marble domes. What is he talking about? We had no understanding. And a twin tower guest house. We had no idea of a guest house. We never occurred to us a temple should have a guest house. So this was Prabhupada's project. This was his, more than any other temple, this was Prabhupada's project. So,
you say,
Jai Sisi Gornitai Sisi Krishna Balam Sisi Radha Sham Sundar. So we're very indebted to, because nobody could write this story like Giriraj Maharaj. So we're very indebted to Giriraj Maharaj. He's presented this wonderful book today. I'll Build You a Temple, the Juhu Story. So to fill in more details, I'd like to request Daivi Shakti Mataji to come in. Okay, Shruti Kirti, all right, then we'll have Shruti Kirti speak, and we have a few other people to speak. So I'll put my voice to rest here. Sisi Radha Ras Bihari Ji Ki Jai, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai.
So this morning, after Mangal Arti, Dharmatma Prabhu, he read from my book the story I would have spoken, and now Prabhu, he also mentioned it again. He remembered the story. Yeah, that was the pivot point in the Juhu project, was that happened in around, at the time I had only been Prabhupada's servant for 2 months, and of course I was from New Vrindavan. I didn't know much about anything with the speak of the Juhu project. So everything, the way it was arranged, was also very fate, Krishna's arrangement. Because we were in New Zealand, staying in one house there, the devotees had gotten, as he said, Tushta Krishna Maharaj was there. Tushta Krishna was the first president in Juhu Project. So that also was interesting. So the phone call came while I was giving Prabhupada massage. Prabhupada's sitting in the room, straw mat, it's gamcha, I'm in a gamcha behind him. And Tushta Krishna took the phone call. The phone call was from Bali Murdan, was there, who at the time was probably GBC there. And as you see, I think in all 25,000 or so photos of Srila Prabhupada, you'll see one photo, Prabhupada on the telephone. That's because he was never on the telephone. To get a photo of Prabhupada on the telephone was rare. So even when that phone call came in for him, and to make a phone call from India to anywhere, of course, was not an easy thing, right? You had to arrange for days these trunk calls, is that what it was called? It took days to arrange even a phone call out of the country. So when the call came in, still Prabhupada just said to me, you take it. He was sitting there, covered in oil, sitting on the floor, golden. So it was brief. I went, and he just said a few things. And of course, as I'm walking back to the door, Prabhupada's eyes are just focused on the door. He knows it's from Bali Murdan in Bombay. So he's just looking at the door, waiting to see my face, waiting to hear what happened. So I'm at the door and he's already, yes? I said, Prabhupada. I said, Mr. Nair has died. And like he said, he didn't go. He went, his hands were up. Thank you, Krishna, he said. And as he said, I was in shock. I was a new devotee. Prabhupada, he loved everyone. He was saving the whole world. But not Mr. Nair. Mr. Nair, Prabhupada says, thank you, Krishna. And I thought, geez, tell him someone dies and he's thanking Krishna. So I didn't understand what had already been going on. Now, this was November 1972. So even from that point, as he mentioned, 1974, there was still difficulties were there. Then there was Mrs. Nair to deal with. But it was broken. Once Mr. Nair died, as he said, what was the words here he mentioned? It was a good fight. Someone should write a book about it. It is worth writing. History. Now, this is a very big history. You figure, here we know, of course, we have Mayapur, Zadam, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. We have Vrindavan, where Krishna appeared in Vrindavan. But somehow Prabhupada managed to link Juhu as a holy place, as a Tirtha, saying, this is my office. You know, obviously he could say, Mayapur, my place of worship, Vrindavan is my home. So he made these very special places, Vrindavan, Mayapur, but then he included Juhu. He said, that's my office. So it's also a very special Tirtha. And as he said, who could understand Prabhupada's vision? You know, we always speak about a pure devotee can see past, present, and future. But he really could. Prabhupada understood the future. When he saw that place, he immediately took it. Prabhupada told me, two favorite places. Everywhere was favorite place. But he said things, and when he said things, it attached something to that place. Just like he said, two favorite places, he said, in the world was Hawaii and Juhu. So Prabhupada was very much attracted to the ocean. And why did he say favorite? I told you, he said, coconuts. Prabhupada liked coconuts. So all these things were going on with this Juhu project. But I still managed to see Prabhupada every day, just carrying on with his activities, just doing his service. One thing we need to understand is, sometimes I hear this too, when things go on in any temple, or activities go on, we say, well, Krishna's arrangement, Krishna will take care of it. But we can see Prabhupada didn't have that attitude with Juhu. Well, Krishna will make the arrangement. Krishna will fix it. We can't do it. Only Krishna can arrange. No, Prabhupada accepted that fight from the moment he said, I'll build you a nice temple. And that's what he said that day when I sat down behind him again during massage, thinking, Prabhupada, very interesting person. And he said, I told Krishna, I'll build you a temple here, he said, and I was not going to let anyone kick us out of that place, he said. And it was a fact that our God brothers, some of the GBCs there as secretaries, they couldn't understand this fight, because it was a long fight. It wasn't just a few days, a few weeks, a few months. years it continued. And it was one of those fights I saw. Prabhupada said he would give him a headache. This Jew who gave him a headache. So I saw these two places. Vrindavan, Prabhupada was most involved in what you see around you. Prabhupada's look, his touch was everywhere in this temple. He took most involvement in seeing the opening of this temple. But Juhu was the biggest fight Prabhupada had. And again, we can see the results of it. But during that fight, Prabhupada carried on with everything else. Nothing was ever neglected. He spent a lot of time in Juhu as well, much to the dismay of someone like me who was with him for some of that time. When I first came to India, there were no temples here. There were projects. This temple was not here. We stayed at Radha Damodar. Then it was November 72. We went to Mumbai. We stayed with Kartikeya Mahadevya. There was nothing. Nothing there except Prabhupada's vision, Prabhupada's dream of building this temple. And he would stay. And Juhu was the one place, Bombay was the one place Prabhupada would go to, and you never knew how long he was going to stay there. And each day was, they were difficult. I also got malaria in Juhu. It was the first time I got jaundice in Bombay. I say, I've told these stories many times, but they're appropriate for this time. It was in Kartikeya's house when Prabhupada showed me the scar on his leg. Prabhupada was proud of his scars. He showed me the scar on his leg one day, just massaging him. "You see this scar?" "Yes, Prabhupada." He said, "I got that young boy, little boy." He said, "played with fire in front of his house." He said, "The whole dhoti, piece of cloth went up," he said. And he did, looked at me. I'm massaging, always massaging. He looked at me. He said, "Someone came out of nowhere." He said, "A man came and he put out the flames and he left. Didn't even go to the house, nothing." He said, "He just put out the flames and he left." But Prabhupada had a fondness for that area. During massage, he would say, "You hear that man? He's selling this, he's doing this." He would always tell me what was going on in the streets there. As he said, he stayed in the flats. It wasn't until the very end. And again, why did Prabhupada stay in his room? Even it wasn't finished. Wasn't anywhere near finished. Here he stayed in his rooms. They were 90% finished when Prabhupada came and stayed in his rooms in 74. But there, they had to clean and clean just for him to sit there. But that's what he did. He went in there and he sat there. He made the place special. His footsteps, his footprints everywhere. His sitting there, his sleeping there. Someday maybe we'll understand who Prabhupada, what he did, how much he purified the atmosphere everywhere he went. And he was determined to stay there in his rooms. And that's what he gave us too. He never just built a temple. Look at Mayapur. They still don't have a temple, but they have plenty of guest facilities. This was how Prabhupada saw things. Take care of the devotees. In Mayapur, he built a guest house. Here, along with the temple, immediately, like he said, a guest house was there. In Juhu, the guest house. And the guest he was taking care of was us, his disciples, not me in particular, but those who were staying there with mosquitoes as big as dragonflies, huh? They said, and the rats were as big as cats. The devotees would tell me they were scared to death just to go to sleep at night. You didn't know who was nibbling on you in the middle of the night. But they did it all for Prabhupada. And they're all glorious people, like you said, Vishakha, Yadavara, who was Jagat Purush, was there for many years. So many spent years there. Not like we sit here very nicely, very comfortably. No, it was different then. And I remember Prabhupada, he said, it was the end of 74. And he said, all right, we'll stay here for some days. And then 2 weeks later, we're still there in Juhu as he's trying to make secure everything there. Some say the very first Guru Puja was also done in that temple room. The Guru Puja ceremony was done there. Prabhupada orchestrated everything. I even remember the Guru Puja. I, believe it or not, I used to play mridanga in those days sometimes. And Prabhupada was chanting Jaya Radha Madhava. And I was sitting right there. And the drummer was right there. And he was... Sometimes drummers do that, right? They get in their own rhythm. And Prabhupada's chanting, playing kartals, and he looked at me. He just went, get the drum. That's all he said. He just looked at me and said, get that drum and play it the way I want you to play it. So that was Prabhupada. He could do anything at any time. He would get up after his afternoon nap. Afternoon nap meant half hour. Sometimes could go longer, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes. But always right after lunch, nap, short nap. And in Juhu, it was always the same. Staying in those flats, two-bedroom flats, I think they were. He would get up out of the bedroom. I would be sitting in the hall, the front room, just sitting there all day. And he would walk out of the bedroom and he would go into the bathroom. And he wouldn't even look at me. But as he was walking to the bathroom, I'd hear, Dob. That was it. That was the order. It means, you bring me now the coconut water. That was Prabhupada's fondness too. Gargamuni, I believe it, he had a gold straw. We have that gold straw. You don't see it here, but it's here. Gold straw would be in Prabhupada's coconut. Sip his coconut every day, the one coconut after lunch. Hawaii, they had a whole room. It was a pyramid of coconuts when Prabhupada would come. They would get hundreds of coconuts, and the whole room was just filled with coconuts for Prabhupada. Palika was there cooking for him, I remember, for 1 month straight. So all these things were going on. And Prabhupada's dedication is a very wonderful example. We have to understand. And that was it. Once Krishna was there, and that wasn't only in Juhu, that was anywhere. He said, once you invite Krishna into your home, you can never tell him, sorry, now you have to leave. That can't be done. So that was the case here. He invited Krishna in, and now, of course, he has one of the most beautiful temples in our society there. And was it called Heaven? Heaven on Earth, the building next door, Heaven on Earth, all white marble, beautiful. So this was all Prabhupada's desire being fulfilled. And there's certainly no one more qualified than Giriraj Maharaj to write on this book. It's a very, you can see in the print, very fine as well. There's a lot of information here because there's a lot that had to be done for the building, this temple to happen. Prabhupada said, when I said, did he go back to Godhead? That was my first question when he said Mr. Nair was dead. And Prabhupada, no, he said. He was happily say that as well. No, he said, he wasn't that big of a demon. He said, Krishna didn't come personally to kill him. But Prabhupada said, I wanted him. He said he wanted him dead. This is also the power of the pure devotee, huh? He said, Prabhupada was very demonstrative when he would speak. So he said he was very robust. He said he was a strong man. Prabhupada was, so I'm massaging him, Prabhupada's doing like this. He was a strong man, he said. But he walked into the room there a Jew who, and he said, I saw him limping. And he said, then I knew Krishna's going to kill him. Later on, he wrote in letters, and he said, Nrsingadev, Lord Nrsingadev has killed him. But at that time, that moment, it was that very brief, Krishna has killed him, he said. So there are a few more speakers, so we could go on, and maybe we will some other time, but now Daivashakti Mataji will say some words. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
I'll speak very briefly because there's someone here today. Vishakapriya is here? Yes. Vishakapriya worked 28 years on the production of this book. She was Giri Ashrami's editor, proofreader, backup writer. So she knows everything about this book. We've only seen the cover so far. I looked everywhere on internet trying to get into the book. It was impossible. But she's the inside story here. So I'll just put a little few notes to what the two previous speakers said, because one was a temple president. Temple presidents always got some special, you know, they were VIPs. The other was the servant of Srila Prabhupada, who was always right with Prabhupada. We were rank and file devotees. Not only that, we were women. So we were way at the bottom of the line there of devotees. And just to give an example of how we used to live there, of course we slept on the floor. There was no furniture. I used to have to put cotton in my ears at night so the cockroaches wouldn't crawl into my ears. That was Bombay. And I would feel them bouncing against the cotton at night. So for the devotees who served there, and it was impossible, if you were a foreigner, it was impossible not to have to go to Bombay. It was the only place where we could get visa extensions at the time. So we all, you didn't just go for a day, you had to stay there, which meant you had to serve Radha Rasa Bihari. Radha Rasa Bihari had this way of just pulling the devotees in. So we had to stay there and serve under, sometimes when there's a trauma in your life, you black it out, you can't remember it. That's, I'm sorry to say, the nectar of serving Radha Rasa Bihari, that's what I can remember. But how in the world we lived, I can't remember. I don't want to remember. So Radha Rasa Bihari were so merciful. And in fact, if you go into Prabhupada's house to this day, because Srila Prabhupada carried a picture of Radha Rasa Bihari wherever he went, because he promised them that he was going to build this, I'll build you a temple. And he wanted to keep that promise. So when Prabhupada returned from London, he got his message, take me back, it's time for me to leave the world. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. He didn't go to Vrindavan. He came to Bombay because he wanted that temple opened before he left this world. And he sat there in his half, partially finished apartment, and Everyone was pushing Saurabh to get that temple done. Now, Prabhupada was so concerned about getting that temple done that at the grand opening in 1975, as soon as Prabhupada arrived here, the grand opening was just starting. It was going to be a one-week festival. He called Saurabh and told him, I want you to go to Bombay immediately and start the construction. He didn't even want Saurabh to stay here for the grand opening of the temple. But then there were too many things that Saurabh had to take care of, so Prabhupada changed his mind. So in the back of Prabhupada's mind was always, get the temple built for Radha Rasa Bihari. So everyone wanted to push Saurabh to get this temple, the Bombay temple built somehow, opened in before Prabhupada left this world, somehow or other. And you don't know when you're going to leave your body. It was in September when Prabhupada came back, and went right to Bombay. But Saurabh, being a very realistic person, knowing the amount of work that had to actually be done, he just spoke very openly and honestly to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, there's no way we can open the temple immediately. It'll take at least until this day, Makar Sankranti. So then Prabhupada, he accepted what Saurabh said because he saw already what Saurabh had done here, the miracle of getting this temple ready in just 8 months. So then Prabhupada relented and he came back by train to Vrindavan here and left this world 2 months later with the understanding from Saurabh, the promise that the temple would be opened. So I want to leave time for Vishakapriya because she is a storehouse of gems of everything that's in this book. We'll get a little glimpse from her now. Hare Krishna, Jai.
So I feel a little intimidated, but so of course Srila Prabhupada's priority was to preach in the English language, as requested from his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So he went to America, as we all know. And then he came back in 1970 with a little team of disciples. I think Gopal Prabhu was one of them. And with the idea of bringing Krishna consciousness back to India, because he was not able before 1965 to make significant progress except print the Srimad Bhagavatam. So actually Prabhupada's vision for Bombay was an international center, and that's why he wanted it to be opulent also, because people from the West, they are accustomed to more comfort. And he wanted the scientists to come, you know, and hear about the science of Krishna consciousness. That's why he did the Bhaktivinoda Institute. He wanted it there. He wanted a nice restaurant so that the people come, we preach to them in scientific terms, we take them to the restaurant, then we take them to see the deities. There's a comfortable guest house. So that temple, as far as I understand, was not really built for us to just enjoy life there, but for preaching purposes. So, as devotees have explained already, Srila Prabhupada wanted a book to be written about the struggle to acquire the land first, which was acquired by, you know, 73, but Mrs. Nair signed the papers at, I think it was at Bogilal Patel Prabhu's house. Anyway, and then building the temple was another struggle. So Giriraj Maharaj was obviously the most qualified to do it because Prabhupada had already given him instruction to, his main business should be to write, which he's doing now. And of course he was there the whole time. He was the temple president and then GBC. So I met him first in 1982. I'm a survivor of the Zonal Acharya system, three gurus. So Giriraj Maharaj agreed to take care of me, and I took reinitiation from him in 89. And then he told me, because he had asked me what I like to do, and I said that I like to write, although I hardly ever did anything. But then he told me that actually I think that I have to write this book on Juhu, and I think you are competent to help me, and I think most of our work will be in India. So he brought me to Bombay in 1991. And he gave me instructions on how to proceed, which are very interesting. He said, so you make photocopies of my interviews, the interviews that Maharaj himself had given to Satguru Maharaj's disciples when Maharaj was writing that authorized biography of Srila Prabhupada. So you make photocopies of the whole thing. It was quite a big stack. And then you say that then you take cardboard files and you number them from October 1970 to November 1977. And then you take a pair of scissors and you go through to the photocopies and you cut out everything that's relevant to Juhu, Bombay. Okay, so I tried to do that. And so that we had some kind of chronological idea. And then in those days we didn't even have a computer, but anyway, then I typed the whole thing and put them in the appropriate file, what I thought was appropriate. And then I also, he asked me to do some interviews, so I interviewed many people. I think I did about 80 interviews altogether. Some of the local people like Mr. Sethi or the secretary of Mrs. Moraji and this one and that one, so many people. And devotees also in Bombay when they came through, or in Mayapur, I remember interviewing Yamuna Devi Prabhu and Dinatarini and Shruti Rupa and Abhiram Prabhu and so many devotees. So, and then I was transcribing the interviews again. By that time I think we had a computer. And then when I had all the material, I was classifying it. I started trying to ask. Maharaj actually was very busy in those days. And even though he wrote a few little things, an introduction and beginning of chapter one, and with the, but he told me at one point, actually, I don't have time to write this book. You're going to have to do it. So I said, but how can I do it? I was not there. And they said, well, you ask Bhujan Prabhu and people who write books. And of course, I could not write the book. But I prepared some kind of manuscript of 300 pages and that Maharaj could refer to. But then, you know, it took a few years to compile everything. And then I was stuck. And he was very busy. It went to a standstill in the early 2000s. Then in 2015, we got a breakthrough. I visited one god brother in Israel, and he designed a Juhu base. You know, like the Vedas, you enter anything, and then, like if you answer Nair, everything about Nair from day one to his last day was there. So that was really useful for Maharaj, because I don't have a scientific mind and I could not organize the material in such a way that he would be able to work on it. Anyway, so, and then of course we had Tamal Krishna Maharaj's brother, Kalachandri Prabhu, who is a professor of literature in one university in America, and he edits, so he became the editor-in-chief. And then we got a complete manuscript, about 800 pages, about 2 years ago, and not so long ago, but I went through it 8 times. And the first time I went through it to edit, copy editing, you call it, I was very disappointed. I thought, my God, what is this? It's got, I had so many stories by so many devotees, like the rat falling in Dravida's plate and this thing and that thing and so many funny things and interesting things. It wasn't there. So I thought, okay, well. And it was full of just like, basically, that's the thing, that the book is not meant for spiritual entertainment. The book is a law book for ISKCON, and especially ISKCON Juhu, on how to preach, how to do things. So when I read it the second time, I thought, oh yeah, actually that's interesting. And the more I read it, as I say, I proofread it and edited it 8 times, I completely in awe of what's in this book. So I definitely encourage everybody to read it. It's not just relevant for preaching in India, in Juhu, but of course Juhu is a very special place because it is Prabhupada considered that Bombay is the most important city in India. At least it was in those days. And he felt that the people are naturally pious, and then he wanted all these foreign people to come and be introduced to Vedic culture in a grand way. I guess that's what comes to mind right now. If anybody wants, you know, if feel that I can answer some question, then you can let me know. Hare Krishna.
Do we have available copies for sale?
Are the books available for sale?
Actually, we only have 9 copies, and one of them we want to leave with in Prabhupada's house. That's permanently, so people can read it. We have a few books that we will distribute personally. And we're expecting, the book has been is still being printed in Delhi. We sent 200 copies in Bombay, and that's all we had. And then from Bombay, they sent us back these books, so that we had something. But I believe that within a short time, the book will be for sale, and we hope the temple president will take some for the books. So I will inform him as soon as we got books. Yes.
Perhaps you can tell us the one most poignant story.
The most what?
Poignant. The story that comes in your mind immediately when you think of the Bombay temple.
Radha Ras Bihari. Yes, although I've never really had time, never been a pujari. But they are so... Actually, I can't remember if it was Shutakirti Prabhu or Dinabandhu said, in Bombay you feel Srila Prabhupada's presence in a way that you don't perceive it anywhere else in the world. You know, I went to several places in the world, but in Juhu, in Prabhupada's quarters, it permeates the whole atmosphere everywhere. It's very powerful, Prabhupada's quarters. Is Is that okay?
How did Prabhupada receive Radharasa Bihari?
Huh?
How did Prabhupada receive Radharasa Bihari?
How did Prabhupada receive Radharasa Bihari?
Who donated
it? Let me think now. I'm just... Is are they the deities that were kidnapped by Srila Prabhupada? But is which deity is it that hand was broken? Shoot. I'm sorry, I'm actually getting senile. And I have difficulty remembering things. Isn't it the Vishakti Prabhu that somebody offered to donate the deities, but you actually wanted to sell them? Or he couldn't install them because the thing... Oh, that's rather London issue, sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I don't remember right now. And But I know that Yamuna, she was in charge of the installation, and she was desperately trying to collect funds to Pandal, that's right, this first came at the Pandal, and she was trying to collect funds, and she couldn't, and at one point she just sat in the street and started crying, and then a limousine drove past, and there was a gentleman in there, and I can't even remember his name right now, and he told him that he was the big person there in a couple of trusts that have temples. I'm sorry, I'm just losing my memory, but anyway, yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you. Hey, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Can I just make one comment? Sorry. Quite a few devotees spoke about Srila Prabhupada, how they felt his presence in Juhu, Bombay. And I myself served there for many years, my Guru Maharaj, and I also can echo the sentiments. And recently, yesterday, God sister wrote to my Guru Maharaj and said that she feels that the book is now like the Vani of Srila Prabhupada entering Bombay. So it's like Prabhupada is here in his, now appeared again in his Vani form. And I guess the devotees who are in Bombay today for the big launch of the book there, where my Guru Maharaj is going to speak also, will feel that. And Vishakha Priya Prabhu made a salient point that it's a law book for not only Juhu, but actually the law book for all of ISKCON. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Radharas Bihari ji ki jai.